Thank the light, everybody. I will be your sight burner. And this is my wolf brother.
Fatty the chef. I will be your overly stoned companion on this happy 420 recording.
That is your true source. That is your purest light. That is your companion for the show Wheel of Time, along with some books. Justin will be your stoned warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. We have a very special thing for you. Today is very special, everybody. Desmond, me, I am bringing the clip today. Justin has been bringing all the clips because he's read all the books. He's listened to all the audios.
Anybody out there go both ways?
No, knows.
That's what we're doing.
Knows the good stuff. And I finally came across something. I listened to it a couple of times today because Justin's like, all right, if you want to bring a clip, you gotta bring it. You gotta bring the questions. You gotta make it happen. And I was like, oh my God, why? Like, why? I don't have a ton of questions for this. It's not that I'm like, oh my God, what's going on?
I need like 4 or 5 questions or comments to extrapolate on, and we're good.
I got a couple of questions, but mostly why this stood out to me so much is that I'm learning so much more about the Tinkers in Eye of the World than we did in the first season of The Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty big, meaty monologue that comes up from the Tinkers that we didn't get at all in the story. I mean, we do get it in the show. Like, we get all the foreshadowing and we know what's happening. But like this showed me too, just because after seeing them in the show, I'm like, how much are the Tinkers going to come back? Like, I know they're going to come back, but how much? And after listening to this, I'm like, oh, we're going to see some fucking Tinkers. Like, they're deep in this shit. So
you are correct.
In the books, everybody, if you've only watched the show, in the books, Perrin and Egwene spend a lot more time with the Tinkers than we see of them. So first of all, they meet up with a guy. Is it Elias? Is that
okay? So first of all, tell me where you're at. Like, what's your chapter? Where are we at in the books? Just so I can. So everybody knows.
Thank you very much. See, Justin's keeping me in line, just like I keep him online. Eye of the World, Chapter 25, The Traveling People.
Okay, that's the name of the chapter, Traveling People? Okay. So at this point, before hearing the clip, I'm guessing they've met with Elias, and then Elias has kind of introduced them to the Traveling People, and he obviously has a history with them.
Yes.
They know him. He's welcome at their fires. They don't really approve of how he lives. But also they trust him and they're cool. Like, there's not love per se, but there is, there's not even affection, but there's, what's the word I'm looking for?
An understanding.
Yeah. But more than an understanding, there is, it's more welcoming than an understanding. I'm having trouble finding the words. Apologies to anybody listening. It's been a crazy month.
Symbiotic relationship.
Sort of, more like, the loner dog that's kind of welcome to kick it with the pack, but he's like, you know, I kind of do my own shit. We'll hang out, you know, we can cuddle at night, it's cold, we can eat, we can share, but you know, for the most part, I'm gonna do my own shit, you know. And that's kind of like that. So it's like he's welcome, but he also kind of scoffs at, they kind of like, it's like brothers who love each other, but man, like, man, you're just a fucking stoner and I'm professional Wall Street guy. You know what I mean? Like, they're just,
yeah,
like opposite sides of the same coin. Like, they just really believe in what they believe in and they have respect for each other and each other's ways. But, you know, a healthy disagreement. But there is still, like you said, an understanding.
So again, to equate this to the show. So in the show, literal wolves kind of push Perrin and Egwene towards the Tinkers. In the book, Elias, an actual man, a wolf brother, actually like hangs out with Perrin and Egwene and talks with them, and they camp by themselves a little while before meeting up with the Tinkers.
Yeah. Which is how Perrin kind of starts to learn about his wolfiness a little bit eventually.
Yeah. Elias knows it, right? He's just like, hey. And he's like very, very coy.
Because the wolves already told him.
Well, yeah. Okay. I didn't know if the wolves told
him. That's how he found him.
Or oh, of course. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, because Elias runs with the wolves and they're like, hey, there's another guy like you. So you should go find him And he's like, okay. And he's like, you think I found you by accident, boy?
So this is towards the end of the chapter. It's a half hour chapter. And this
just give me the minutes just so we can just if someone wants to.
28 to about 35.
Okay, so about 7 minutes. Great. Okay, 28 to 35. Okay. And then I'm going to try to shut up and take notes during this and we'll talk about it afterwards.
So I have it sped up just a little bit too, so it should go pretty quick. All right, here we go.
Somewhere in the camp, a chorus of male voices rose. Perrin slid down in front of the log and soon felt himself dozing. After a time, Rain said, "Have you visited any of the Tuatha'an, Elias, since you were with us last spring?" "No," Elias replied around his pipe stem. "But I have heard a story since last we met, and if you have not heard it yet, it might interest you." "It interests me, and I have heard it again and again, every time we meet others of the people. It begins in the spring 2 years ago, with a band of the people who were crossing the waste by the northern route." "The waste? The Aiel waste? They were crossing the Aiel waste?" "Some people can enter the waste without being bothered," Elias said. "Gleemen, peddlers, if they're honest. The Tuatha'an cross the waste all the time. Merchants from Carrion used to, before the tree and the Aiel War. They watch us from a distance, but they will not come near us, nor let us come near them. Sometimes I worry that they might know the song, though I suppose it isn't likely." "If this is some story about a song," Elias began, but Rain shook his head. "No, my old friend, not a song. I am not sure I know what it is about. 2 years ago, a band of the people crossing the waste, about 100 miles south of the Blight, found one of these groups. Young women," Hila put in, as sorrowful as her husband. "Little more than girls. The young women were all dead, except one, and she was dying. She crawled to the wagons. It was clear she knew they were Tuatha'an. Her loathing outweighed her pain, but she had a message so important to her that she must pass it on to someone, even us, before she died." Elias sat up, his pipe almost falling from between his teeth. 100 miles into the waste? Impossible. Jivik Kashar. That's what Trollocs call the waste. The dying ground. They wouldn't go 100 miles into the waste if all the Murdral and the Blight were driving them. From trophies the Aiel carried, it was obvious they were coming back from the Blight. The Trollocs had followed, but by the tracks, only a few lived to return after killing the Aiel. As for the girl, she would not let anyone touch her, even to tend her wounds. But she seized the seeker of that band by his coat, and this is what she said, word for word. Leaf Blighter means to blind the eye of the world, lost one. He means to slay the great serpent. Warn the people, lost one. Sightburner comes. Tell them to stand ready for he who comes with the dawn. Tell them, and then she died. Leaf Blighter and Sightburner are Aiel names for the Dark One, but I don't understand another word of it. Yet she thought it important enough to approach those she obviously despised, to pass it on with her last breath. But to who? But none of it makes sense. Slay the great serpent, kill time itself, and blind the eye of the world. As well say he's going to starve a rock. She knew what she was saying, and to whom she was saying it. Something more important to her than her own life, and we cannot even understand it. When I saw you walking into our camp, I thought perhaps we would find the answer at last, since you were. Elias made a quick motion with his hand, and Rain changed what he had been going to say. Are a friend, and know many strange things. Not about this, Elias said in a tone that put an end to talk.
Is that the end of it?
That's the end of it.
Dude, for someone who doesn't really get reading or these books, that's a fucking hell of a clip to pick, buddy.
Yes, I knew it.
Don't worry. So, first of all, where you want to start? Let me fucking load up some of this fine.
Yeah, you just go ahead and just start dropping knowledge. You'll probably answer most of my questions just monologuing. So,
or should I be more impressive and just tell you what I think? And then if you still have questions, should I do that?
Yeah, because my questions are.
You want me to do that?
My questions are probably fairly pedestrian.
I will probably answer most of them.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. Okay, first off, that is an amazing clip to pick. You have no idea how much it foreshadows, how much it tells, in to the point it's like fucking almost prophecy.
Yes,
like I'm not even kidding you. Like I don't know how hard you thought about it or if it was accidental, but dude. For your first impact clip, dude. Well, I'm just glad to see that, I want you to love this. I know you may not love it as much as I do, but it tells me that you're getting how important and you get Robert Jordan's writing, even though he's fucking weird. You know what? We're going to do an episode on his interview at the end of the audiobook sometime. You know, I wanted to write a story. I'm telling you, he's a weird dude. Anyway, I digress. So first of all, Tinkers and Aiel, while they seem as far as you can get from what they are, you know, like I was saying, you're like, oh, I thought they would like hit you if they hit you back. It's like, no, they are so stoic and reserved. Like you can stand there and beat their child to death and they will not do anything if they are truly the way of the leaf. And the Aiel obviously are the complete opposite of that. It's like you fucking look at them. But that's not true. The way people are like, oh, you look at an Aiel crossways, he'll cut you. And it's like between some societies, hell yeah, that's the truth. Different septs, they like, you know, it's like, think of it as like old school, like tribal raids, you know, like Mayan or something. It's like kind of like that. They don't kill people. They take them Gaishan. So it's like if you don't die fighting, you are touched without a weapon or you're captured, you have spent a year in servitude to them. And it's like, and then you're released. You can go back to your tribe, basically, you know.
Sorry, that's the Aiel?
That's the Aiel. That's kind of like one of their ways. And so that's kind of like all the people who wait on the wise ones or, you know, set up the tents and whatnot. They are people who have been like captured. And I don't think you're allowed to capture like, you know, like a blacksmith. It's like it has to be a warrior and they spend a year in servitude, you know, like.
So now do a lot of these people then join the Aiel or are they cast away once they're
No. You can't take like non-Aiel Gaishan. It is like supposedly against the rules. It does start to happen. There is some groups who...
Oh, so there's different tribes within the Aiel Nation.
Yeah, there's a lot. And then in those tribes, there are warrior septs that, you know, may commingle with other, you know, like tribes per se. They call them septs. And then they have warrior societies in those septs. So some, you know, like you might be from two septs that are like have a blood feud, but you guys are from the same warrior society. So like, I don't know if they go to meetings. I don't know. It's like, you know, there's like for Fardaris Mai, it doesn't matter where you're from. You're like a maiden of the spear, like sisterhood. It's really actually that they're the exception because the men warrior societies are all kind of different.
And are they all living in the waste or is the waste even a place yes. where the Aiel don't really like to go? Or is that just their home?
They're the only people who can survive there. And there is a land on the other side of the waste that it's called Shara that nobody knows anything about. Supposedly they get silk there. There's elephants. You don't get to find out a whole lot, but there's big shit going down there right now as we're going on, like almost parallel to Rand. Because there's something called the Prophecies of the Dragon, and there is a guy who is kind of like their version of Rand, but he's also someone who's a guy that's maybe not a good guy that is that maybe knew Lutheran, maybe had a very hatred for him. Just saying, possibility. But like they live in the waste and they will let peddlers cross the waste, A, because they like to trade with them, and B, because, you know, it's like they need shit, you know, they can only produce so much stuff. And as long as you're an honest trader, they don't care. They really don't care if people come in the waste other than like most people who come there are looking for trouble.
Okay.
Sort of thing.
Okay.
And they would let Gleeman come into the waste, traders. They'll let the tinkers cross the waste, but there's a reason why. So basically, they talk about the song and like the Aiel avoid the tinkers like the plague, like they're disgusted kind of by them.
So is that why they let them on their land? Because they don't even want to kill them. They're so gross. Or is there another?
That's like, first of all, you know, Aiel aren't really into killing people who aren't like fighting or like, you know, really like
warriors.
Generally speaking, if you're trying to cross the waste, they won't even fuck with you because unless you're super prepared or know what you're doing, you're going to die anyway.
Yeah.
It's that harsh. It's like, think of the Sahara Desert. There ain't shit.
Yeah.
Unless you know how to live there. And they live in these like rock holds. Think like Pueblo Indians, you know, into the sides of the mountains type of thing. They find a big, you know, dugout and that's kind of where they are, you know. I'm interesting to see when that comes into the show how they're going to look because it's really... There's one time there's a Trolloc raid on one of them and it's like, I can't wait to see how that goes down. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The reason why is, you know, and it's a slow burn and it takes a long time to get there. And I'm going to say this without, so the Aiel now, they don't pick up swords because nobody really knows why. and they have their, you know, their very strict customs, and they're, it's all about something called jito with them, and it's honor and obligation, I believe. And that's why, like, if you're captured, you know, they're Gaishan for a year and they don't cause no problems. They don't try to kill people. They do their year and they go home. And it's like, it's all about honor, you know, and they don't play, you know, like, it's like, you know, and if you break that honor code, like, you're worse than scum. And the only thing worse than those scum are the Tinkers, because they won't protect their families and they have perverted, you know, they're just, ew, you know, they just can't understand with them. But the real fucking twist. The song has to do with them singing and the Ogier singing. And then when you get to the end of the Eye of the World, there's something called the Green Man there. And he's his own being in himself. And he was like like an extreme version of Loyal, but a plant kind of. And like they sang and made things grow. And that's why there was no famine and shit like that. So really the way of the leaf was like peace and servitude and, you know, making sure that everyone, they were kind of like, you know, civil servants. And, you know, you could go hit one of them in the street and they would be like, oh, I must have offended you, I'm so sorry. But like, if you were the person hitting them, you're like what the Aiel think of the Tinkers now. You're like worse than scum. Because why would you hit someone who's so peaceful, who does so much good?
Yes.
And so really the Aiel now, as honorable and loyal and kind of cool as a people they are the perversion of the way of the leaf. And it's like they vowed to never pick up a sword. And finally, some Aiel were like, I'm not going to let them just keep taking and raping my daughters and my children and my wives. And they vowed to never touch a sword. So they start fighting with spears
and knives
and bows and anything but a sword. And they would not touch it to save their own life, because that's their justification that they're not breaking.
They only made the promise to not touch a sword.
Exactly. Because a spear could be, yeah, a spear could be used for hunting or digging or whatever, you know.
Picking your teeth.
And so really, yeah, the real twist is the Aiel now, as honorable as they are the perversion, and as they're so disgusted with the Tinkers, you know.
So is that why, even though they don't know what the song is, they'll know it when they hear it, because it will just like, the world will light up around them and flowers will bloom under their feet as soon as this magical song is sung?
I believe that in my interpretation of the way things play out in the books, that is exactly it.
Okay.
And I actually just figured this out right now. If you could see a light bulb going, look at this, watch this.
I can't see you.
You can't.
Your camera's
light bulb going off.
Your camera's been off.
It's off?
Yeah, your camera's been off this whole time.
No way. How do I turn it on?
Oh, there it is.
Here we go. Hey, light bulb goes on.
Bing!
So the person who knows the song is...
Of course.
I just realized it. There's a part in one of the last books. He might just be humming. I think he's singing. And he's just, as he walks, like shit starts to grow behind him. So, yes, I believe the answer to your question is a very resounding yes, because it's like, it's very, you just helped me figure it out, because that's how they'll know, is because it's obvious.
Don't they even say at some point an Aiel would never know the song because they're...
Yeah, no, he says sometimes I worry they might know the song, but there's no way they possibly could. Well, it's like... Yeah, you guys are. But at this point, you know, the Tuathan and Tinkers have really become more of a, almost like a cult or a church or an ideal, as opposed to a people. The Aiel who have lived in the waste are, you know, it's obvious they are a certain tribe. And even though they broke out, you know, they're all tall, red haired, light eyed. You know what I mean? It's like when you get a brown haired Aiel, it's weird, you know.
Yeah,
most of them are flame haired or blonde, you know.
Well, and you know, so. That person's probably fucking out of their their family circle, and you don't know what it
hey,
is.
Hey, what happened?
So you answered the biggest question I had, because I imagine the Aiel Waste is just being full of weird monsters and traps that would just kill you at any turn. So I was like, how is a Gleeman just
really harsh desert? Like, you can't find water.
It's hard to survive, but if you have water and you're a nice person, like a Gleeman, I was like, how is a Gleeman surviving this horrible wasteland?
Because they'll be like, hey, dude, why don't you come and entertain us for a while and we'll, you know, give you water. And
yeah,
they like, you know, they're just people. They like to gamble. They like to trade. And when they raid stuff, like one of their customs is they take something called the fifth, which is like a fifth of the treasure or whatever they own. So when they raid the Stone of Tyr, like all of the Aiel got always like crazy jewels and shit.
You mentioned something about the Maidens of the Spear in our last episode, but I didn't get the impression that the girl you were talking about was an Aiel. And this chapter made me think that all the Maidens of the Spear are Aiel women.
Yes. So
who were we talking about? We were talking
as the Aiel. They're okay. All right. Let me get there. Okay. Remind me of that when I get to he who comes with the dawn. Remind me of that question.
Oh, okay? He who comes with the dawn. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why the Aiel avoid them. They're like whatever, and the Tuathon don't really avoid them. They're just kind of like you know, they're violent. How could they ever know anything? And that's, you see some stemming of like why the Tuathon could sit there and just get a beat down, because they have the reserve of an Aiel without the violence. The Maidens are looking for Rand because, and they have Dreamwalkers. So I'm guessing that there was a sort of a foretelling, and I'm sure I'm just not remembering it right now, but like the Guitara Sedai, like he was born on the blood of the dragon on Dragonmount, you know, when she tells of Rand's birth, they know somehow of that prophecy or something similar. And they know that he who comes with the dawn is Rand. That's the dragon. That's what they call the dragon. They don't call him that. They call him something else. You know, like the sea folk have a different name for the dragon as well, for Rand. You know, and so they're actually looking for him and trying to, you know, spread the message that, you know, he's sight blinders. You know, the dark one is stirring. He's trying to break free. There's shit going on. The Aiel men that he talks about, some Aiel men just go to fight the shadow by themselves. Well, you'll learn the more you go along, like while the Aiel are super formidable by themselves, they're always in groups of three or six or at least a couple, you know, because they're scouting. Aiel men go to the waste, and the Trollocs call it the dying ground, because those are the Aiel men who can channel.
Oh.
And when they figure out they can channel, they just go, well, I'm going to go kill as many of the shadow as I can. Well, guess what? I'm going to go Bill Romanowski on you. Guess what? Hear what we're talking about, Romy. I talked to you about being changed against your will in one of our last episodes. How Rand was afraid of that in Egwene's testing, like, vision of the tower. When he's like, just kill me because I don't want to be turned. The Aiel boys, because usually they're, you know, 15 to 20 when they figure out that they can channel. A lot of them aren't dying. They're getting captured. That's why they'll kill so many Trollocs until they're exhausted. Then the Trollocs take them and then they turn them. And that comes into play later on in the books like a motherfucker. And they all these Aiel men who can channel, who are just dead-eyed fucking zombies, are, you know, coming at you.
Dude, there is... This show is going to crescendo in a way that's going to make the end of Harry Potter look like
Voldemort was a worm.
Just like, oh, look, you guys have a little bit of magic. That's fucking cute.
Yeah. Oh, you guys have Patronuses. That's cute.
Got Aiel men and Sean Chan women. And
dude, when it comes to magic, this show's going to blow shit. I can't think of anything that's going to come close if they don't blow it.
Oh.
But so far what I've seen, like, dude, the battle scenes with the power have been dope. Oh. And the way they've used the power, like the big wave coming at you, like it's exactly how I always pictured it.
I think this is why they're... It's going to be interesting to see how much this pisses off book readers. They're going to have to make a couple different colors of the power. Because if there's three...
I feel like they're going to have to differentiate. I agree.
Yeah, if there's three or four factions going at it, we're going to have to be able to see whose weapons are coming from who. And
I see how they've already done it for the men and the women.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, that's not going to work anymore without giving too much away.
Yeah.
So I really wonder. And but like also, I don't see how they solve that with what we talked about in the one episode about, you know, the earth and the fire and the wind. Like, unless you can just see, you know, because they're going to be using a lot of the same weaves. So I don't see how you're, it's like, it's not going to be like, oh, the stormtroopers got red blasters and the good guys got green ones. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay.
I think they could, like, if Aiel had a different color and the Shan-Chan had a different color. But we've already seen the Shan-Chan that was white. So we've already.
I mean, I think that I feel like they're going to go with the less is more thing when there's lots of shit happening on screen.
Yeah.
Like they're going to show it every time they get a chance to, like all the women channeling to like cut Loghain off, you know. But when there's a bunch of shit going, I think you're going to see more what's happening with the power than the power itself.
Oh.
Like in the, you know, you see a moving, you see a little bit of whiteness, but then you just see Atlanta kind of go, ah, and then you see like the air and the leaves disturbed and people go flying. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like a force push.
I feel like that's a creative license to keep it like less busy.
Yeah.
You know, like, because otherwise if you, you know, like you said, you got a couple different factions, four different people, you're like, whoa, white lines, man. Woo. It's like a fucking bad acid trip.
So I think, I think what's going to be a quick question. I think I have two quick ones. We'll see what happens.
Good fucking luck.
Did someone take the song or was it just lost in the breaking because things got so bad they just quit singing and forgot it?
I would have to do some research on that one to like get a more factual answer.
Okay.
My opinion, just being where I'm at, I feel like it died with Lucerne somehow.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, yes. Or, you know, it seemed like when you saw them singing and stuff, it had a lot to do with the men. It's one of the things I kind of noticed as it went along, Robert Jordan. It's like very strong women, very nurturing, loyal, loving men is what his... Like, if I had to describe how he wrote men and how he wrote women, as far as like, you know, good ones, you know. So in that sense, I think I feel like that it was kind of lost with the men going mad, not just Lucerne.
Would it ruin? I'll tell you why I'm saying this in a minute. First, I'm going to say it. Would it ruin the mystique of the song if Matt sang it? If Matt had the knowledge somehow?
No, actually, it would fit right in and make more sense because, you know, like I said, as he goes along, he actually kind of technically dies a couple times. He starts getting all of these. First of all, one of the popular theories is that he is Aemon reborn. And he, as much as he's like, nah, I should die, he ends up being married to a woman who can channel, who is quite powerful. And I won't spoil that, but... So they say that maybe she is the queen of Menethrin reborn. I'm drawing a blank on her name right now, but I mean, that's kind of one of the popular theories and I don't know if it's ever been confirmed or not confirmed, but it would make sense from the, as you go further along, the Matt has a lot of memories from like battle generals that when he goes to that other realm, the snakes and foxes, he's like, I want my memories back. And so they fill the holes in his memory with all these generals. So he just knows, you know, crazy battle stuff. Like he just pulls shit out of his ass. Plus he's super lucky, you know? And so it's like, I personally would find it much better if Matt did it.
The reason I said that is because he's the one that's...
You better text Rafe because that gives me a boner, actually.
He's like the one...
Because he's the singer.
Exactly. When they're riding horseback and they're all sad and lonely, he's the one that starts the singing.
And Barney had a good voice, man.
He did.
I think that other cat can sing, though, because I want to say he played like a bard or a singer in The Witcher for a second or something.
Oh.
Maybe I'm totally tripping, but I really, dude, that would be dope. And I think that that would be a good way to take, you know, they're obviously trying to spread out the story and make you love all of the main characters, which Robert Jordan was able to do over 15 books.
Yeah.
He got a lot of time.
Yeah.
But they're trying to cram it. So I really like how they're trying to make them all have, you know, it's not just Rand. Rand is the main guy, but it's not just Rand's story. It's so many people's story. And so I like that they're not just going to make it Rand's story.
Can the Trollocs talk?
Some can.
That's right. We have.
Not like me and you, but it'll be like hungry, narg fuck. You know, I mean, like, it's very limited.
Because they say that they said that the Trollocs call the Waste Javik Kashar. And so I'm just like, they call stuff shit?
No, okay. you know what? I'm fucking tired and stoned and maybe a little bit drunk at this point. Yes, they talk. They have their own speech. They have Trolloc tongue and they have Trolloc writing. Some of the writing of the clip that the blood calls blood thing.
That's right.
There is some Trolloc stuff, right? But that was in you know, human, but there was some Trolloc stuff written too.
So gross.
So, but some of them can speak a little English, but mostly it's like a harsh guttural kind of grunting, you know, type of shit.
Somehow that makes them more gross than fucking talking to each other. Like, just go.
So they smell like piss.
Just go to a cave and lay down. Don't sit around the fire and tell stories, you nasty fuck.
About how you fucking ate some people and
Where's Charlie? I ate Charlie. Oh, great.
Great. Now I'm gonna go have sex with rah 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 rah.
What? Punch, screw, eat.
She smells like dirty blood. Gross. She ate Charlie's brother.
Charlie ate my gizzards.
Disgusting. Gross. So Leaf Blighter, obviously, Sightburner, you've obviously figured out because he came in with the intro. That's the dark one. But what they're talking about blinding is that Ishmael talks about it. He's like, I'm sick of this fucking fight. I want everything to end forever. And that's what they're talking about is, you know, killing the great serpent. And that he's got a plan. Like, he's really like recruiting men who can channel, not even Forsaken, just the, you know, the Aiel boys that go there, you know, which is only just a small portion of, you know, all the machinations, because all the Forsaken, if the Forsaken worked together, everybody'd be fucked. But they're so selfish and power hungry and like undercutting that, you know, love was the answer, man. It's like, that's why they can't fucking win. Cause every time one of them like has like Lanfear, dude, she's got a chance to kill Perrin. She's got so many chances to kill so many important people. And she never does. She's just like, well, I'll get to you later. You have fun. Boop, boop, boop. You're handsome. Bye bye. And so you're just like, you know what? It's like literally she could just be like, you're dead. Perrin, you know, Balefire, whatever. Like, you know, and so He who comes with the dawn in that clip is Rand. I feel like now that you've asked me that question, if you listen to the clip, I feel like the song did get lost or somehow, you know, it definitely got lost. Was it just Rand? Was it the men and Rand? Is it because there used to be a bunch of the tree brothers? Now there's one left. He lives at the eye of the world to protect it. And so, you know, maybe it's a portion of all of that. And like, even how Loyal says, he's like, you know, not many Oiger can tree sing anymore. The talent is dying out, but all of these other things are coming back. And that's why Loyal is like a really strong tree singer, and like the Tavirin and the Wolf brothers. And like, so a lot of old things are coming back around. People start to rediscover lost talents from the Age of Legends channeling and stuff too. So, and let's see, I think that might be it for that clip, but Jesus Christ, there was a lot in it.
Unbreak the world.
Right? He's like, I want it to end. And Ishmael's like, I'm tired.
Speaking of tired.
That's it, man.
That is it, everybody. Thank the light. Oh, I'm just, this is so amazing. Like, I was excited to watch the clips and talk with you a little bit about it, but I was a little bit tired. And we just talked for almost 2.5 hours without even trying. It's fucking amazing. I love this story.
I thought I wasn't going to have the energy tonight either, man, because I'm just like, you know, I started on the 30th and I'm like, oh, wait, it's about to be April. 420.
Boom.
Oh, shit. And then it was like, it's been the daily, just like boom, boom, boom. And like, we got through it. We crushed it. We've already hit like the sales number for the month with 10 days left. So I'm feeling pretty good. But like, I was like, man, I'm kind of wiped. Like, that's why I texted you. I'm like, I'm hitting my peak. Like,
if you want to record, record now.
I'm feeling pretty saucy and I'm at the height of my powers right now. So let's do this.
Perfect. If you want to chat with more of Fatty's height of power, check out Wolf Brothers on Twitter at Parched Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman. If you have questions, comments, characters you want us to talk about, maybe some book passages you think we should listen to and focus on. If you got any spoilers out there, whatever. If you have some personal questions you want to ask us, thankthelight@gmail.com. That is
send us pictures of your pets.
Yes. And we will.
I said pets, not privates. Oh, I said pets.
Damn it. No wieners, everybody.
Mm-mm. None of that. None of these
things. But you can ask about ours. We'll tell you which way we hang. Thankthelight@gmail.com. Send those questions at thankthelight@gmail.com. If you would like to listen to some other podcasts while you're waiting for our next release, go to whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine free podcasts. We have time travel movies on Time Pop, comedy and spirituality on All the Answers, fitness and nutrition at Truth Not Trends, and awesome women at Be Brave Podcast. May you always find water and
mother's milk in a cup. It's getting late. Good night, you sons of goat kissing trollocs.
You trollic kissing bedwetters.
You're gross. You're going to go watch trolloc porn, you nasty bastard.
Oh, yeah. Shadar Logoth.
Trollocs don't have safe sex.
Oh. Oh. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Will, remember Will?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing in there?